Yeah, thanks. I appreciate that. Today, we are going to talk about hope. And I just want to start off by saying this. Shake off every distraction and keep your eye on your hope. Now, that's really important for us to really cling to hope, because there are days like today. And I'm just going to throw people under the bus left and right. I don't care. Started off this morning, I was totally right. I was absolutely right. And my wife wanted to argue with me. True story. I'm down there and I'm like, I'm telling the truth. And she's like, but I mean, do you realize I have to go to work today? But I'm right. Then I'm driving down the road and some moron, some Neanderthal, some evil-hearted individual had their really super intense bright lights in my mirrors. You know, and if you've been behind me, I've got those little lights that you can flick and they kind of flash. Nope, stayed right on me. So I'm like, pull over to the side. I'm literally sitting there, not even 100 feet from the church, getting ready to preach. You know, I looked at the Lord and I said, okay, God, this is not how I wanted today to go, but I'm going to trust you. I'm going to put my hope. Then I came into the church and nothing went right. It was wonderful. But, you know, we live in a fallen world. And no matter what happens in this world, we can cling to the fact that God has promised us and God will be faithful. And we can cling to that hope. And that's what we're going to talk about today. So, I was going to use this as my introduction. TDU. When we were building our house, our contractor was just a lovely human being who just grated on my nerves. You know, we're paying him. We're paying him. And he's like, no, you're going to do it this way. And we're like, but that's not what we want. A classic point. You want to know what I wanted for a countertop? My wife and I both wanted for a countertop. Was a wooden countertop that had a nice linoleum with a good wooden trim around it. You know, something simple. You will have granite. You know, like, I don't want granite. You will have it. You know, it got to the point to where I was so frustrated that I put these three words into my vocabulary. And I'd look at him and I'd go, TDU, okay, TDU, and I'd walk away. He had no clue what TDU stood for. You know what it is because you can read, right? Temporary dwelling unit. This is not my reward home. I don't need to cling to it. I have a hope that God has sent for me. When things go wrong in this world, like they did today, that's okay, because we have a hope that we can cling to. So, all right. If you've got your Bibles, I would like you to turn to the book of Romans chapter 5. Book of Romans chapter 5. We're gonna continue on in Romans, at least for today. I don't know what I'm doing next week. But today we're going to continue our study of Romans. Romans chapter 5. I don't know where that came from. There it is. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him, we also have obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, endurance produces character, character produces hope, and hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. There are three things that happen here in this. There's three. There's peace with God. there is access to grace, and there is rejoicing and hope. And we're gonna talk about those as we go through this day. But let's start with the peace of God. Okay, peace with God. And I've got a couple of verses I'd just like to run through real quick and read them to you, just as we get started. So you don't have to follow along. You can write them down, and you're probably quicker at this than I am. But we'll read these. These all deal with the peace that we have with God. In John chapter 14, verse 27, peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, nor let them be afraid. That's a great verse, isn't it? In Romans chapter 14, verse 17, we're going to read a continuation of this theme of peace. 14:17. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Peace is central to our walk with the Lord. You know, Galatians 5:22, the fruit of the Spirit, peace. You guys familiar with that one? Anybody not ever heard that one? Okay, you guys know that, okay. So I'm going to go ahead and turn to Philippians chapter 4, verse 7. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. This, in Romans chapter 5, it says, because of what Christ has done, we have peace with God. And I just wanted to point out just briefly the idea of peace that we find throughout the New Testament and through the Scriptures, that we have peace with God because of our salvation. But there's a lot of people who want to have peace with God. I mean, let's be honest. Everybody wants to have peace with God. But you cannot have peace with God on your own terms. There are people who just want to say, you leave me alone, I'll leave you alone, we'll go our separate ways. Don't bother me, I won't bother you. There's people who look, just leave me alone and let me live my life and we'll be fine, okay? I'm not going to go out there and cause problems. None of that. People want to set terms. I do what's right. I'm a good person. I follow the law. You can't make peace with God on your own terms. Matthew chapter 22. I love this. This is Matthew 22. So Jesus is on the earth. He's doing his ministry, and people are challenging him. And in Matthew chapter 22, they're testing him. They're testing him. They're testing him. They're asking him questions. They're going, what's 2 plus 2? And hoping that he's going to come up with 16 or something. You know, they're trying to trap him. And he says in answer to them, you are wrong. They're asking him in this particular case about whose wife, because all the brothers had her and she died, whatever. And he goes, you are wrong, because you know neither the Scriptures nor the power of God. And my friends, we don't know the power of God. Do you know how a human being and an ant have peace together? The human being doesn't kill the ant. Right? Do you know how the incredibly rich and powerful have peace with the incredible weak and poor? The rich and powerful ignore the weak and poor. Do you realize that in our relationship before God, we have no power. We have no standing. We are nothing. God holds all the cards. Similar to my mother-in-law this week, who beat me time and time and time again and left me crying. It wasn't very fun. But that is nothing compared to the power that God has over us. You can't rationalize with God. You can't make a deal with God. You've got nothing to offer him. You don't understand the scriptures and you don't understand the power of God. You can't make peace with God on your terms because all God has to do is forget about you for a second and you will no longer be. That's how powerful the Lord is. You can't. And so those of us who are believers, look back in Romans chapter 5. Look how it starts. Romans chapter 5. It says this. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, the very starting point is our relationship with God. Therefore, we've come to that point in time where we see our sin, we see His holiness and His authority, and we realize that we are in need. We're in need of forgiveness. We're in need of rescue. And we can have that not because of anything that we do. You are all wonderful people, much nicer people than I am. But as great as you are, you've got nothing to offer God. It is only the completed work of Christ. And He freely gives it to us. He freely allows us to have peace with God. He did all the work. We get the benefit. Peace with God. But then it goes on to say, access in grace. Therefore, since we've been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through Him, we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand. You need to understand, first of all, that the grace of God exists. It's there. It's a reality. It is a truth. The grace of God is real. And even the dregs of humanity live within it. They may live on the very outskirts of it. Like I said, if God is so powerful, God's authority is so vast, God's existence is so great, that if He ever, for a moment, stopped caring for you, you'd be done. That's just the way it is. He has that much power, that much authority, that much righteousness and holiness, that if He ever, for a moment, said, never mind, I'm going to go bake cookies, we'd all be done. It doesn't matter who you are. Even if you're on the fringes, it's His grace that sustains you. Now, but it's more than that. It's more than that for believers. It's true, we live in a fallen world. It's true that good Christians, men and women who've devoted their lives to the Lord, they have bad days. They get involved in accidents. Tragedy strikes their family. They experience financial ruin. They have physical ailments and disabilities. Even God's beloved children have that. But they go through it while standing in the midst of God's grace. Time and time again, He says He will never leave you, He will never forsake you. Time and time again, He says that He can work, He does work all things for our benefit. He says that He guides the very events of history according to His purpose, and for those that are called according to His glory. We stand in the midst of His overwhelming grace. That does not mean that every day is going to be perfect. That means some days your wife is going to get up and she's going to argue with you even when she's wrong. That means that there's going to be morons behind you who don't understand that sometimes you can dim the lights Even you are still within God's grace. You are still covered. You are never alone. You walk through the valley of the shadow of death, and you do not need to fear evil, for He is with you. You exist as a believer, lifted up, sustained, protected, covered, and surrounded by the grace of our God. And I'm sitting in my office, and I'm studying this, and I'm going, I got peace with God. I don't have to worry about it. God's not going to say, you, and end me. Because God has forgiven me. And God has made peace with me. And even when I do wrong, God looks at me and goes, you're mine. We're good. We can do better, but you're good. You know? And when I'm living in this fallen world and things are falling apart, you know, and I look around and I say, hey, God. And He's like, I've got you. I'm with you. Yeah, I know. I see. It's tough. You think this is bad? You should have seen what I had stopped, right? We exist within God's grace. And we have hope. I'm going to do it. I'm not going to apologize. I'm just going to do it. Through Him we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Now, rejoicing in hope, we are celebrating in full assurance of an unexperienced promise. You see, hope is... A true hope doesn't see the end in clarity. True hope is trusting in the Lord. True hope is like, but we have full assurance. How can we have full assurance of something that we don't see, something we don't know, something we've never experienced? How is it possible that believers have full assurance? Thank you for asking that question. We're going to talk about it. Read on. Our full assurance is the result of a promise. Not a promise, of a process. We rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces character, produces endurance. And endurance produces character, and character produces hope. Pay attention to this. We rejoice in hope, right? That's what it says up there in verse 2. But verse 3 tells us how we get to rejoice in hope. And it's not always an easy road. It says we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. Suffering can be inflicted upon us, or it can be due to our own actions. Suffering can be summed up as hardship, be it physical, be it mental, emotional, social. I know, I haven't said where I'm going. Psalms 15, verse 4. You don't have to turn there if you don't want to. It's completely tangential to our sermon. I'm going to read the whole psalm. It's 5 big, long verses long. O Lord, who shall sojourn in your tent? Who shall dwell on your holy hill? He who walks blamelessly and does what is right and speaks truth in his heart, who does not slander with his tongue, does no evil to his neighbor, nor takes up a reproach against his friend, in whose eyes a vile person is despised, but who honors those who fear the Lord, who swears to his own hurt and does not change, who does not put out his money at interest, does not take a bribe against the innocent. He who does these things shall never be moved. We exist in the presence of this. There's a man I know that has walked that road, suffering, endurance, character, and hope. When we were buying our house, I went down and got a quote for my wood stove. I went down to buy it, and the guy said, "Oh no, that was at my cost. I'm going to charge you this much." I so wanted to shoot him in the knee. Claims to be a God honorer. Wrote his name, signed it with this price. And when I went in to buy it, he wanted to charge me more. That's not a God honoring. I know a man who lost it all, basically, and has spent decades paying it off. Could have very easily chosen to go bankrupt. Very easily. But his word was the word of a believer. Not everybody's going to agree with him on this. There's some people who are going to say, you can take bankruptcy and you'll be fine. But this man stood before the Lord and said, I made this commitment. And has spent the next 40 years paying it off. You want to talk about suffering? There's someone that hasn't experienced a lot of freedom. There's somebody that hasn't experienced a whole lot of ease. There's been days where that person had no idea how they were going to make it. They suffered. You know what that's done? It's built up endurance. I've never met a man who's better educated in the Word of God that didn't go to Bible school. Never met a person that was more faithful. Generous. This guy spent decades digging out a hole. He's been faithful to the Word. Been faithful to the Lord. He's given and given and given. And this man has character. Couldn't buy him off with anything. You see, when we read here in Romans about rejoicing in hope, hope doesn't happen in a moment. Hope is the result of a process. Starts off with some serious suffering. And when you walk faithfully through that suffering, you gain endurance. As your endurance increases, you develop character. And your character lets you rest in hope. Not a hope of this world. But a hope in the Lord God Almighty. We could go around this room and we could share stories. You could sit down and talk to some senior saints who've been through it. I know people that have been rejected, and yet have striven to honor the Lord. And it develops character. I know people that have been shut aside. And it comes down to this. As we go through our suffering, our salvation is secure. Jesus Christ paid the penalty on the cross. We have peace with God. And no matter what we go through in this life, we rest in the midst of his gracious mercy. That is a reality. But we live in a fallen world and we will suffer. The question is, will we honor the Lord with our life? Will we willingly endure? Will we willingly sacrifice for him? Will we suffer? Will we endure? Will we gain character? And in the end, will we have firm hope? You see, I say we celebrate in full assurance of an unexperienced promise. And how can believers celebrate in full assurance? You get up in the morning and you go through today and you walk before the Lord. Some days are good. Some days are bad. But you humble yourself before the Lord and you get up today and you honor Him. And you get up tomorrow and you honor Him. And there are times where you are high on top and it is sweet riding. For a lot of us, there's times where we're just barely crawling. But as we go through this day by day, we develop endurance. Endurance produces character. And the final point of character is hope. But I want to caution you. I want to end this. This process can be short-circuited. You can put your faith and trust in God. You can be at peace with God. You can be resting in the grace and just letting the Lord cover you. And you can find life is challenging and you're willingly enter into the suffering for the Lord. And you begin to develop that endurance and you begin to develop that character. But if you allow your eyes to drift off of our goal, if you allow your eyes to drift off of your Lord, if you begin to take a look at the circumstances in which you exist, you will lose sight of your hope. You will lose sight. And so today, as we wrap this up, shake off every distraction. Don't let anything take you from your focus on the Lord. Remember, meditate. Look for our hope. You will face hard days. You will be broken by the events of this world. But I tell you, cling to your hope. Walk in full assurance of God's faithful fulfillment. That's your call today. Let's pray.